Blog Talk Radio.
If that doesn't get your paranormal juices flowing, nothing will. Good evening. This is Dr. John Spamy live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, with ScaryCast Tuesday on the number one paranormalnetwork.com network. We're going to have a great time tonight. We've got a what I would call a superb guest. I got to speak with her a little earlier, and I enjoyed it. First of all, we're going to go around the room. From Houston, Texas, my buddy is back. Kyler Smith, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome, and just a heads up, I am driving home at the moment, so if it gets too loud, please let me know. I don't want to have any background noise interrupt you guys.
I'm sure we will get everything worked out, but we're glad to have you here, and thanks a lot for being here. And the number one co-host on the number one Paranormal Network Tuesday night, the one and only Matt Delph. How you doing, Matt?
I'm doing great. Glad to be here.
Well, we are glad you're here. Wow, I just keep getting – I hate getting news flashes on my phone. It's just so depressing. Anyway, it's great to have you here. We got a great show tonight. So what I want to do to start off with, Matt, I would like for you to introduce our guest. Tell her how you know. Tell us how you know her and a little bit about her, and then we would like for our guest to tell us a little bit about herself. And she does so many interesting things, and I mean that. She's a lot like our friend Robin McCray from Monday Night. She does a lot of interesting paranormal and spiritual things. So, Matt, turning it over to you, buddy.
All right. Of course, our guest, Jamie Whitaker. And I meet a lot of people through the networking with my monster hunting and all my research and stuff, and happened to meet her the same way. She is from Louisiana, and you know my love for the New Orleans, the vampire cult and all that stuff, and me and her just started talking one day, and it just clicked, and been pretty close ever since. She's given me some pretty good research tips to follow, and a couple in particular. But she does soul cleansing. She does soul retrieval. She does Reiki and shamanic healing. She does a little bit of everything, some remote viewing. She's a medium. She tells me what the guides want me to know. She's a good channel for that. She's super smart, and you guys will figure that out whenever you start listening to her speak here. So,
well, I'm going to jump in and I'm going to say this. She is very interesting. I mean, I learned that when I did my little brief talk with her. She's an interesting person, and that's not something you can quantify. You're either interesting or you're not. She's very interesting. So, Jamie, tell us about you and some of these magnificent and cool things that you do, okay?
All right. Well, thank you. I mean, pretty much, I feel like you've covered so much of it. I am a channel medium, and I, like you said, I do a lot of different various healing, and a lot of that kind of leaks into each other where, you know, you're working with the shamanic stuff. It goes into everything from healing to crossovers, and I mean, I get messages from Spirit. They'll hijack me with weird things that, you know, they're like, hey, I have this message for this person, and it seems random and, you know, crazy to me. It usually resonates. That's Spirit just being random like that. So I said everything kind of just blends together, and I feel like most of us that do the spirit work and you know, talk to dead people, you know, it all kind of, it blends together with, like I said, the remote viewing and all the remote work in general, and, you know, just time and space isn't real anyway, so.
Right, it's a human concoction. But I will say this.
I understand the need.
Mm-hmm. And I really like it that you mentioned one of my favorite phrases, how you talk to dead people.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, if you don't know, that comes from The Sixth Sense, starring Bruce Willis and Haley Joel Osment. It's just one of the truly great horror films of all time. It is something that the first time you see it, you will never forget it. And mm-hmm. I think M. Night Shyamalan made it so easy to see what the little kid could see. And
mm-hmm.
and Jamie, it is, I'm guessing, it's really quite easy for you to contact spirits and have them contact you, correct?
It's actually harder to shut them up than it is to see them, because they're, I mean, spirit's everywhere if you just listen, but I've always seen spirit, and they just get chatty. Sometimes you have to kind of tell them to let you sleep, or, you know, I've got to go to work, you've got to stop talking, and stuff like that. So, yeah, they're pretty, once they realize you can hear and you can see, they want to talk, they want to tell you their messages, you know, they want to talk to their, generally, I don't get a whole lot of them where they're, like, trying to get you to contact their loved ones or anything like that. Most of them just have something they want to say before they can cross over and rest. Or I'll be in a location that has, like, a residual type, because I'm also an energy reader, so I can kind of see the residual, like, what happened there, and, you know, where you touch things and you can see the events and stuff like that, so. It's harder to shut them up than it is to hear.
Would you say, okay, no, I better not say it. It might be misconstrued. But anyway, I do have the first question for you. Robin
okay.
McCray, who's a dear friend, she talks about mind speak, where she just kind of opens her mind and she hears voices. She has to, of course,
mm-hmm.
make sure that she's getting voices that are real and accurate and not imposters or ones that are going to cause problems. And Robin kind of said something to me one time, and all of a sudden I could hear him too. And are you familiar with mind speak, and would you call what you do mind speak, or do you have another name for it?
Well, it's one of the clairs, and I work with, well, actually, I have all the clairs come through. But I have a really good my system. I'm open with my higher self. Everything is filtered through my higher self. So I'm an open channel all the time. And if it comes through and it's approved, then I get the message. That way I don't get the imposters or when you'll feel the vibe change or an entity come in, I can see the what it is for the truth of what it is, because you get a lot of things like you said that are imposters, but if it's allowed to come through, I get the clear message. Because like I said, I've worked to develop a kind of a good system with my higher self that allows for me to just get clear messages, so I can, like I said, that way I can stay open all the time but not hear so much. Because they have chatter all the time, and I pick up different like types of spirits, not just ghosts, but, you know, you'll get your angelics, and they don't talk like we talk. They, you know, you get more visual. Well, I do get more visual and just knowing type messages with them. So I said I have a, I just have a system where I don't have it filtered, so I don't have the imposters come through so much. If that
right
makes
now,
sense.
One thing that well, it certainly does, and one thing that Robin told me that I heard when I was, and I'm going to count this as two questions. I don't want to cut off Matt and Kyler, but I was doing some research into the Sydney Monsters, which was a UFO space alien sighting about 50 years ago. In fact, exactly 50 years ago in a little tiny town just across the South Carolina line called Tabor City. And the lady said that she could feel and talk to the space aliens, especially when she was in the shower and they were out in her yard, or when she was driving. And it was so funny. Robin immediately said, well, that's when I've always had, you know, the best reception, and the clearest reception is when I'm driving or when I'm in the shower. And we had an attorney in that town who does the same thing. And I have the world's clearest messages when I'm driving, and not when I'm in the shower. I'm just trying to hurry up and get out. So do you have any comments about that, about the times that you get the clearest messages? Well, maybe not.
Well, being a channel medium, and because this is what I kind of do all the time, I'm a nerd for it. So I get messages all the time. And I do talk with, I believe I've narrowed it down to Lyran and Arcturian and Pleiadian mostly. And I'll have different ones come through a lot of times when I'm doing Reiki. I'll get different, like if I were doing Reiki with you, I'd get your guides come through. And if your guides happen to be different, I don't know any other alien species or whatever, then they may come through for you, and I would have to describe what I'm seeing or whatever. But that's what I get it all the time, but I'm open all the time to the positive, good vibrations. Now, if it's important that there's something negative around me, I get messages. They're not allowed to come through, but I am told that it's there. But as far as the interdimensionals or the what would be called aliens, because I'm a starseed, it just comes through whenever, all the time. I don't really have a specific time.
Okay. I guess what they were talking about up in Tabor City and what I was talking about in Robin is there are just times for some of us that it's easier to channel. It just is.
Right.
And I guess that's a very personal, that's very, excuse me.
I would imagine.
By the way,
it's,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I got to tell everybody this. I am drinking Dr. Pepper, strawberries and cream, zero sugar, and it is like candy. It's so good. Oh my goodness. Go get some, okay? No, it's so good.
I drink water.
I know, I'm terrible. I'm going to die soon, you know. But anyway, you know, I was just wondering, and I think Robin, her specialty is Bigfoot communication, and she does have two clones of Bigfoot that live behind her. And I had just an incredible experience the other day. There's one that loves the smell of skunk. And so I was driving along outside of Columbia, and all of a sudden I smelled a skunk in the car. And I know we've all, Kyle and Matt and Jamie, I know we've all smelled a skunk, but you don't smell a skunk for 10 minutes. For about 12 miles, you don't. And that's evidence that there's a spirit in your car, and I looked at my normal spot and I saw the spirit smiling, and it was just, it was really cool. I would say that potentially cryptids are different to communicate with than some of the spirits, a lot like the Pleiadians and everything. I would guess, mm-hmm. and I was in my opinion, and then I'm going to shut up. I'm going to let Matt and Kyler talk. But this has been wonderful to get to ask you some of these questions, Jamie. It really has. So if you don't mind answering that one, any difference between cryptids and ghosts and aliens?
I have only recently had any kind of, and I grew up in the woods and never had any experience with anything. And I didn't really count it out, but I've only recently seen what I would say is a Bigfoot. And I was remote viewing, but I was kind of pulled to it. So, like I said, my guides pull me to whatever I'm supposed to see. And, you know, it didn't communicate with me, though. So I'm not really sure how they communicate. So, but I'm very curious now, because that got me, that got my attention, because I've never doubted that they existed or anything, but I've not really had any encounters with them. So now I'm, you know, now my nerd is going crazy to know a little bit more.
Well, that's great. Well, I tell you what, I'll close with all my questions, and I'll say, when Robin gets over COVID, I would definitely like to introduce the two of you. I think, you know, I think you would enjoy it. You know, enjoy talking to somebody else that's an active practitioner of mind speak.
Yes.
I taught a buddy of mine in 3 minutes how to do mind speak, and he was channeling St. Cyprian of Antioch, the great sorcerer and spirit and saint in the Eastern Orthodox Church. He wanted to. I wanted him to. I sometimes have the honor of talking to St. Cyprian, but he talks a lot to Jason. In fact, Matt, we had Jason, the sorcerer, on our show, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. That was a while back there.
We'll do that. And maybe, Jamie, after you and I'm hoping that you and I will get to talk some. And, you know, you know, sometimes it's nice to have people from different disciplines on the show talking. Now, Matt, I'm sorry. Dr. John is done. It's time for you to ask Jamie a question. I apologize.
All right. If you could, just tell the audience a little bit about some of your cryptid activity that's come through recently, and with the Fae and some of these visions, because you had a pretty good little message for me there a little while back that kind of resonated. Well, it did. It was pretty dead on. But
tell that one first. I don't know if you want that whole story there. I know I get the random stuff, and when it comes through to me, because I don't understand what I'm looking at, or I haven't really been into any of this. It's just like, you know, okay, there's this thing in the tree and it's yanking this deer up, and then it disappears, and there are several other little things in the trees. So these messages, I have to try to relay what I'm seeing and hope it resonates and hope somebody can understand it.
Okay, well, tell them, since mine's kind of a classified case, go ahead and you can tell them about your Bigfoot that you were, how that all resonated.
That one was the one that I was just listening to somebody talk, and that was the one that yanked the deer up into the tree. And before the person was telling the story, I was seeing it, and I had no idea what I was seeing. Because, again, I haven't been introduced, hadn't at the time, and still haven't really been into a whole lot of this. And so just this, what looked to me like a Bigfoot, but it would move. It moved so fast, it just literally yanked the deer off the ground and went up into the tree, and they both disappeared, like vanished. And like I said, I was remote viewing this. And that's how the story went. But I saw it before the story was told. And again, generally, when spirit is telling me something, it is, there's a reason. I haven't exactly figured out what the reason is behind this, other than, you know, possibly it could even be for what we're talking about right now to line me up with those I need to talk to. But I noticed there were other little ones with it. Well, I say little ones. They look littler to me, but it moved so fast. And then it was such a shock. I kind of snapped out of it really fast, like, that's really cool, you know. And then I was sorry I snapped out of it because I really wanted to see more, but it was too late. So,
kind of describe what you've seen. Describe what you've seen, what they look like. And
it was just, like, literally it moved so fast. It just looked like fur, like swoosh. And I said there was just a deer on the ground, and it, like, grabbed it. I guess an arm, and then up into the tree, and then but it disappeared. And I think that's what threw me, because I don't know what I had in my head, envision for them, but I just thought they would go somewhere. I didn't think they'd disappear. So when it disappeared, it was kind of like, I don't know what I just saw.
Okay. Boy, it had went to another, possibly parallel universe, a portal, went to a different frequency.
Something, maybe. And, you know, we talked about, I had the opportunity to do some Reiki on some chimpanzees, and it was the weirdest thing, because I've never had an animal literally mask its energy. These things were masking their energy. They were hiding, like, they're right in front of me, and I couldn't see them. Now, and when I'm doing Reiki, I usually have my eyes closed, so I'm kind of, we weren't allowed to touch them because they were retired medical test chimpanzees, and so we had to do distance Reiki, but we were several feet away from them, and literally, I couldn't see them. They'd never seen me before, and they were actually able to mask themselves. Nobody had ever done Reiki on them before. Had, you know, it was really odd that they were able to do that. I mean, no animal, there's usually at least a void there if they're hiding, even with humans. So it kind of got me thinking about, well, you know, possibly there are other species, other creatures, other things that could do that. I said, I don't know. It moved so fast. I don't know if it disappeared or if it just blended or what.
Right. So, cloaked or masked. It's
right.
Whole frequency.
Yeah.
Yep. So explain what you do with the Reiki and the monkeys, the testing. How did that all come about?
We were just, there was a group of us going to do some remote work on them. And chimpanzees are so good at masking their illnesses that kind of the hope was that we'd be able to see some of what they had going on. And the veterinarians there, a little bit of an idea of what they, a lot of it they already had ideas because they do their routine work and what have you. But it was just kind of to try to see if there were things that were going on with them medically and if we could help heal them without being, you know, especially the older ones, without actually putting them under to do any of these procedures or anything like that, so they could, because the older ones are, they may not wake up from the anesthesia. So that was just, it was kind of just one of those things, and I'm going to try to volunteer to do some more if they would, you know, if they would like to do that or whatever. So that was just what that was, and there were a couple of them that they really had questions about, and I think we were able to answer some of the questions because I didn't know the questions and some of the things that were coming through. feel like was because the veterinarians knew what was going on. I think it was useful, a couple of them anyway.
So, but there was yet some that refused to try and let you in. Do you think they knew what you were doing, or they just automatically shut down?
I think they automatically shut down because in the wild, any kind of a problem, automatically weaker. There's a hierarchy in their, I forget what they call them, their little families or whatever. So, and also if there's an illness or a weakness, they're more likely to be prey. So they're pretty good at masking what's going on in their body, like physically. So I don't know if that helps them mask their energy completely or what, but that was what we were really trying to work on, was seeing if we could see what was going on with them. And it was really interesting because some of them had, they communicated differently. Some of them actually communicated with words, and some of them communicated with pictures, and some of them missed other ones and told me about it. But some of them, like you said, they wouldn't even let me see them. So there was one enclosure that I never could. I knew there were four of them in there, but I never could find one of them. And that was the one that they ended up having to take out because it was confused, actually. It was old and it had cataracts or something. And it actually didn't know where it was. So when I finally did pick up on one of the other ones was talking about it. So we were able to find it, but not through finding it through TIFT. One of the other ones showed us where it was. So, and that was interesting because that's extreme intelligence. I mean, animals do have they have a pretty decent amount of intelligence that we don't give them credit for, but it was fascinating. I thought it was very interesting going out there. And the masking, their energy just blew my mind and got the wheels really turning on some of the other stuff. Like if they can do it, what else can do it? So
if they can do that, now, we've discussed, you and I, on some of our talks, like New Orleans, the energy is overwhelming in that city. You got all this crazy stuff happening there. And of course, we plan on doing a lot of field work. Do you think some of these things will try to block you whenever, say me or you were in New Orleans, we're trying to get a vibe on something? Do you think these other things will try and be able to mask so you can't feel what's going on?
I'm going to say no, because if it's a threat. Because I trust my guides and guardians to show me if there's a threat. I feel like my guides are, more advanced than that. But I believe that they could. Physically, they can, I think, mask to us. I would imagine that they can. Because some of it, usually when I see people and if they have a lower vibration or an attachment or something like that, I actually see their attachment. But some of this stuff, I've been to New Orleans too, and some of this stuff down there, it just, I can't even put my finger on what they look like or what it was or what the energy was. It was so different from anything that I've dealt with.
It's so overwhelming down there, the energy. You got so much stuff. I'm excited to get
extremely
down there.
Living energy.
So, yep.
Tell
them a little bit about who you did encounter there and the city and the little story behind that.
So, We were driving around. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Zach and Abby, the during Hurricane Katrina. We were trying to find where this couple, during Hurricane Katrina, the aftermath, they hung out, they rode out the storm, and story short, Zach killed Daddy, chopped her up into little pieces, cooked her to dispose of her, and then committed suicide. So we were looking for the apartment that they stayed, that they lived in. They found Agon. And the above woman, the voodoo shop, we never found it. So we're getting ready to leave New Orleans, and there was one other shop that went to that had been actually highly recommended, or if you really want an authentic experience as opposed to the touristy kind of stuff, and couldn't find it on the GPS. So we went to pull over to pull it up, and we didn't want to drive around. Pull over and look, and we're literally right in front of the shop I was looking for, which was the Voodoo Spiritual Pill. And we went in and kind of messing around. I've never been in a shop like that. And I didn't know exactly what I was looking for. And was like, so what are you looking for? And I don't know, in the back. Now, I know you didn't hear me. Priestess Miriam is fabulous, amazing. Her energy is just awesome.
You're getting a little, and your audio is getting a little choppy there.
It's a bit choppy.
Yeah, I don't know if you're in a bad spot there.
I am sitting in the same spot. How's that?
That's a little better, yeah.
Perfect. All right.
Yes.
So we were, we went back to the back. Priestess Miriam took us back to the back. There were all these little statues and really cool little items. I really don't understand all of the culture. Or the religion, I believe voodoo is a religion. We spent a few minutes back there, and then get ready to leave the shop. We got a little coffee cup and, you know, real, you know, thirsty kind of things. And we walk out, and there was a gentleman with asking for a seat, and I couldn't even look at him because he was a person, but didn't, to me, look like a person. And so I got into my car, and gave him a light, and he came back up to the car and was like, thank you, God bless you, and all this. And I had to message a friend. I was like, what is this? I have a vibe of what I'm looking at, who I'm looking at. I didn't even know who he was. And we just happened to be at, literally, the shop is at a crossroads. And she said, well, that was Papa Legba. And I don't know, he's a Haitian Loa. It takes to me a lot, anything for anyone like that to manifest in physical form. I mean, this is like a 3D person standing in front of you. After that, since then, I have literally always smell cigars, or I'll see his, I'll see a package, and it was Swisher Sweets. It's a weird thing. Swisher Sweets is what he had with him. And my friend said that just a few days before, there would be a couple of people that would come in from who had visiting from afar or something like that. I've had a piece of paper show up beside my car that has his little symbol on it and stuff. And it was by my car where there's nobody. It's literally out in the middle of nowhere. There's no way it could have floated from a building next to me because there aren't any. So it was an intense energy. I have not had a whole lot of, I've channeled archangels. I've channeled deities before, channeled all kinds of crazy stuff, but for it to be in 3D in front of you, it was just incredible energy I can't even describe. So I said I couldn't even stand there in his presence because it was so strong. So it was definitely, I've got to go back. I definitely have to go back, and I definitely have to go back.
Well,
wow.
Hopefully
my
then.
Experience.
I said
incredible
hopefully.
It really is.
Gets more answers.
Yes, yes. And I wasn't even, what was great is I really wasn't asking for that. It was like it was just this extra special bonus blessing, you know. It's like you never know. You go and you can investigate stuff and you can, you know, work on stuff. And it's just when you least expect it when you get the really awesome stuff.
So. Very true. Very true.
Exactly.
For that one,
all
I feel
right,
like I need to go back and say thank you.
Yep. Now, Kyler, do you have any questions or comments for Jamie?
Yeah, so earlier you were talking about how you kind of have something stopping or filtering your good and bad messages and people that are spirits that can talk to you. And I was kind of curious, like, why was that always there, or was that something you did for a certain reason?
It has always been there, but I did do it for a reason. Everybody has a higher self, and it's actually easier to tap into than you think. But I've always seen all types of spirits. And a lot of the vibration stuff, I noticed that it couldn't get anyone near me, but as I started working with, because I do energetic clearing and entity removal and stuff like that, it just got important to kind of establish some form of communication that helps me understand what I'm looking at and allow the important stuff to come through. That way I could stay open all the time. But the ability to filter it has not always been there. It got pretty crazy there for a while when everything started kind of amping up. It's been probably 3 or 4 years ago now. That everything just got louder, and I was kind of forced to try to figure out how to kind of tone that down because I couldn't listen to everybody all at once. So I just started developing ways to do that. And everybody can do it. But we all kind of have our different strengths. So
okay.
That one just kind of
so it definitely
happened
wasn't.
To be on.
Okay, I see. Yeah, thank you for explaining that. So it definitely wasn't like from a fear point of like, okay, I don't want to hear this. It's more just like, this is too much.
Uh-huh.
I can't handle it.
And I did it organized. It's my file cabinet. It's like, come in the junk. I don't need to hear it. It's useless. I don't want to say useless. It's probably not a good word for it, but everybody can't chat at one time. And I need the important stuff. If I can't help them, I don't need it coming through. And you still have that. Well, I will have some stuff that tries to come through. I don't need it. So definitely wasn't out of fear, though, because when I'm channeling, if there's a lower vibrational thing, I'll call on Archangel Michael, and I'm fearless then. It's not me. It's him coming through, so. It's not scary then. I'm pretty brave and cocky. Like, it's definitely not me. I'm awesome, but it's not me.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
That's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, that's amazing. All right, Matt. By the way, thanks a lot, Transamerica, the life insurance company that you keep. And we will keep seeing everybody. And thanks to Transamerica for keeping ScaryCast and number one paranormal network on the air. Matt, do you have a question for our guest, Jamie?
Yes. Can you explain a little bit about the soul retrieval?
I do with the shamanic work, you go into the different realms and stuff too. Generally, I don't know, and usually I have questions or something like that. I need answers to something or whatever. But with soul retrieval, when you have a traumatic experience, your soul literally, little fragments break off and hide kind of to preserve themselves or just go to a happy place or they go to various places. And mostly, like I said, it's mostly for self-preservation. So when I do soul retrieval, I'll go into the different realms. You've got three different realms and find for my clients, I'll help find their fragmented pieces. And they're usually hiding. It depends on the trauma that they've experienced, but they'll be hiding I found them off in fields playing with the butterflies or hiding in kind of dark kind of closet kind of spaces or caves or something like that. So I'll go into a shamanic journey, kind of like a meditation or a trance state, and go and find these pieces and bring them back. And in bringing them back, the client basically re-experiences the whole whatever trauma it was, and I help them kind of process it and go through it and integrate that soul piece kind of back into, kind of call it back into themselves. So it's like making them, kind of like making them whole again. But they have to be ready to process what caused the soul piece to fragment and hide itself. So that's soul retrieval. It's and sometimes you can just blow it back in. Literally, you blow the soul piece back in. And sometimes I've had to lead it back by the hand. So there have been some where I've had to take the client and actually like hold, they needed to visualize holding their, it's almost like talking to yourself, imagining talking to yourself, but you're seeing, like if you're a child and you experienced a trauma and you had to go back and talk to your child self and say, see what, you know, everything's good now, it's okay to come back and kind of heal that part of your soul. Like I said, so that, because you've heard of like your heart is broken or your soul is shattered or something like that. It's kind of like that's an actual physical representation of that, those sayings. So that's soul retrieval. It's emotional, but I like that part because it's a healing thing, and I am all about healing, and everything is really starts on, I think, an emotional level more than anything. So that's kind of my attempt at explaining soul retrieval.
With the Passover, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, now with soul retrieval, that is actually for the living.
Okay.
When you're doing
well,
to help
I'm
you
sorry,
heal,
go ahead.
But
okay,
let's,
yeah,
that
I
one's
so.
To help you heal in the now. And I do crossovers, where you take them to the gatekeepers, and that's how Papa Legba is a gatekeeper. So it does make sense that we met. still doesn't make sense. It's still really cool to me. I've worked with gatekeepers, that, you know, in doing the crossovers. And that is shamanic work. When I do it, either taking them to the gate or having Archangel Michael to guide them, or however they come through. So that would be psychopomp work, though.
Okay.
More so than soul retrieval.
Okay. Now I see the difference. Good deal.
And I think that I would say,
No, I just wanted to say, as Dr. John, I wanted to say that's very, very interesting.
I think I was forced to do some of this, like, try to figure out some of this, because these spirits were coming to me. And so some of it was just kind of like I had to feel my way around. So, like you were talking earlier about, you know, other people doing it and everybody talking and, you know, finding out how each other does it and stuff. I love that. Finding out how other people work and that kind of stuff. My ancestors were like hedge druids and stuff like that. And I haven't been able to find a whole lot on that kind of work. So I had to turn to the shamanic work, which has really, it resonates. So, anyway, I don't know. There's not a lot of information on the hedge druids and what have you. So talking with other people is awesome.
Okay. Well, that sounds interesting. Kyler, you got another question for our guest?
Let me see. Actually, I'm kind of curious. I know you gave us a story about, you know, when you saw, or you were, you said you were viewing like a Bigfoot encounter. Do you have like a specific encounter that you saw that was just mind-blowing over all the others? Or I guess just strange, out of the ordinary, completely, what in the world just happened other than that one?
Specifically cryptid or just in general?
I want to say in general.
I'd say, because that's, as far as I know, the only cryptid experience I've had. I've had some fun stuff. I was talking earlier with Matt about this. I had one this was another interesting thing where I did a house blessing, and the girl's gifted too. She just kind of had questions. She questioned her abilities. So I came and blessed the house, and, you know, we went over what all she was seeing. And after, she wanted me to, there was something that she kept seeing in the backyard. So she asked if I could remote view the backyard. And we have a mutual friend, so there are three of us in communication, but none of us are in the same house. So I'm remote viewing, and there was an entity, and it kind of, you know, it came, it was aggressive, but not real super aggressive. And, you know, my communication is that you can't do this. She's saying no. She's saying her free will is to go away. You can't come into her house. And, you know, it was intentionally scaring her. You can't do that. And it didn't like that, so it rushed me. And when that happens, my guardians step in and pretty much latched onto it to force remove it. And so it tried to run, and it was the funniest thing, because it literally, I'm seeing all this, but I'm remote viewing this, and it's literally this scary thing that tried to get in my face is trying to run, right? And it hit the fence that she had, this like chain link fence, and that was it. It was gone. And so I was texting her, and I'm laughing, like just dying laughing here, And I was like, okay, it's done. The thing is removed. And at the same time, she had been texting our mutual friend saying, oh, my God, what's going on? My fence is moving. It's shaking. Oh, you know, like she's kind of tripping. And then so whatever this was, it was like an energy feeder trying to feed off the feeder. But she had enough guardians that it hadn't gotten far enough to actually get to her. And when I went to remove it, it literally went somewhere between 3D and actually manifesting to actually physically move the fence. And I don't usually get confirmation like that. I don't need confirmation. I trust my guides and guardians, and I get enough confirmation to trust. Mm-hmm. I don't need it. But every now and then we get this really cool thing that's a good, solid physical confirmation. And I mean, like I said, even though I don't really need it to believe it, when we get stuff like that, it's pretty cool. And again, I feel like it might be relevant with some of the other stuff that we're talking about with the cryptids and what have you, however they manifest or whatever, however they are able to come and go without being seen. Because this one went from spirit world to manifesting to back pulled through a portal, because it was also on a ley line, so it had a real weird energy going on anyway. So that was probably one of my favorite ones. And then, like I said, with it manifesting in physical, that was pretty cool. I like that one. And it blew,
yeah,
it definitely
if you just
blew
can
my
get
mind.
A laugh out of it. Absolutely.
It was
yeah.
hilarious. That one, I said it was. That was probably my favorite one.
Awesome. Okay.
I've had
deities
come through, and I've had them with such intense energy that they fried my headphones.
They did what?
They fried my headphones. I've had deities come through that were such intense energy that they quit working. So. I was really disappointed, too, because they were one of my favorite pair of Beats. But, I mean, the energy was really intense. So some of these higher vibes, and it's not just a higher vibration, it's just a higher amount of energy. So some of those are pretty cool. But they only pop.
I feel like that would be crazy if all of a sudden I was in a situation like that and my headphones were just completely fried and done. I feel like that freaked me out a little bit.
It was kind of like, but I knew who I was talking to, and we were intentionally asking questions, so I knew what I was getting myself into. It's my own fault.
I see.
I asked for it. So, and it wasn't like it was intentional, like they were like, oh, well, I'm going to, do this. It was just that much energy, so.
Okay.
It was cool and a dang it, that was my favorite headset way.
Wow, that's great question and great answers. And Kyler, thank you very much. Now, Matt, we have 6 minutes left, so you've got 4 minutes to pose the final question to our guest, the one and only Jamie Whitaker. She's from Louisiana, and she has been absolutely fabulous. So, Matt, the floor is yours.
Okay. You talking about the cryptid world or whatever. Do you think it's going to be a totally different experience now that you're working with some of the cryptid work, or you think it's – of course, it's all linked together, but do you think it's going to be a different energy?
I do, because they, like I said, spirit doesn't show me anything for no reason. So this has been masked from me my whole life. I've seen, like, it's a miracle I'm alive. I used to run around barefoot in the woods all the time. I mean, like, they had to have been there, and they've been masked this entire time. And so now I've been introduced to a few things that feel like relevant. And yeah, I think that I definitely like to experiment and try to, you know, see if I could communicate, because I don't know how they communicate. I would imagine it varies. Definitely got my curiosity peaked. So, and I would imagine it depends on the different types of their attitudes and so on and so forth.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. You got different types, different, just like people.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really kind of curious. I don't know. This is kind of still is a little bit far-fetched, but one of my guides has been described, he doesn't look to me like this, but he's been described as looking similar to Chewbacca. I told you I have a guide. I call him Chewy. And he sort of looks like possibly he could be a Bigfoot, but not, I mean, he's a spirit. So, kind of curious about that. I don't know where that'll go or if that's even a thing or anything, but you know, again, that's
oh,
just
I'm
one
sure.
of those little things that it's like, it's, he showed up. We didn't show up. He's been there. He just has made himself known in the last few years, couple of years, 2-3. So, and again,
he's
everything's relevant. I was like, okay, so, okay. I see
he's
where this here. Is going, maybe.
He's preparing you to meet me.
He's got my back. I like him. He's cool. He's the fun one. I mean, who can say they have a guy named Chewy? I really didn't expect anybody to take me seriously either. It's like, nobody's ever going to believe this. So,
wow. Great experiences, Jamie. And I want to say thank you very much. We're going to have to say sayonara to everyone because at 10 p.m. Eastern time, Clyde Love and the number, I'm sorry, Clyde Lewis and the number one podcast in the whole paranormal world, Ground Zero, comes up on the Scarycast Network, soon to be called Number One Paranormal Network. So, Jamie, again, thank you very much for being here. Will you please come back with us and chat?
Absolutely, and thank you for having me.
Well, great. Well, we'd love to, and Matt will get in touch with you if you're good friends with him. So, Matt, thank you for your
mm-hmm.
questions. We appreciate them.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
And, Kyler, thank you for being here.
Of course. Thank you guys for letting me on.
Well, we're always glad to have you. So anyway, we wanted to say good night to everybody, and we will be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel, on the one and only Scarycast, the number one paranormal network. So now everybody needs to say goodbye. Take care. See you next week, 9 p.m. Bye, guys.
Good night, everyone.
Bye.